T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
6:10 here on a Saturday night. Steve, Eric, Jonathan hanging out ahead of the Twins Magazine at 6:30. Pregame is 7:30 with Chris Atterbury and then Corey Provis and Dan Gladden with all the play-by-play. Hard to believe it's the final road series of the season for the Twins. They return to Target Field, close it out with games coming up next week. A week from tomorrow, the season comes to a close in a matinee with the White Sox. Once again, tonight in Oakland, 8 o'clock, tomorrow in Oakland, and our coverage begins at 1 with Twins Week in Review, an early start there. At 2, we'll have Inside Twins, our pregame at 2:30, and then the final road game of the season tomorrow at 3:05. Day off Monday for the Twins and Detroit in town for 3. A twin bill on Friday between the Twins and the White Sox. And then they'll play next Saturday night. And they'll play next Sunday afternoon and say goodbye to the 2018 campaign. So we'll talk more about the Twins on the magazine coming up at 6:30 here on CCO. They got beat by the A's 7-6 in 10 innings last night. Eric, some other big stories, including the Vikes and the Bills tomorrow. Always the Vikings, top of mind in this town. And the Vikes, 1-0-1 out of the gate. That very unusual tie. You were at Lambeau Field for that game. And a lot of people want to boil it down to Daniel Carlson, but there were other factors that led to that 29-all tie.
Well, yeah, and whenever you have a tie game, Stevie T, and by the way, we've had a tie in Week 1, Pittsburgh-Cleveland, a tie in Week 2, Minnesota-Green Bay. First time that's happened in the opening 2 weeks since 71, so it's rare. But it's always woulda, coulda, shoulda. On the Green Bay side, they've got plenty of that, and so does Minnesota. Obviously, Daniel Carlson went wide right 3 times. If one of those goes through, especially the final one, they get a victory and a walk-off win in the overtime if he connects. But that didn't happen. I think for Minnesota, there's also other things that they're concerned about. What about your punt team that had a punt blocked and led to an easy touchdown for Green Bay, first score of the game? I think special teams right now, big red flag with the Minnesota Vikings. And they've had that red flag waving for a couple of years.
And, Eric, you brought it up in today's game. Special teams is part of this three-legged stool. You have the offense, the defense, but you have to play good special teams. How often does it, at all levels of football, does poor special teams play cost you games?
We've seen it a lot. And unfortunately, yeah, here in Minnesota, you go back a couple of years ago, Blair Walsh goes wide left in that frigid game, third coldest game ever.
I'm still
thawing out from that one. I was outside for the entire contest. And, you know, Minnesota would have gone to the next step in the playoffs. Who knows what happens? But instead they lose because Walsh couldn't make a chippy. My thing is, with the Vikings and Mike Zimmer and Mike Prefer, the special teams coach, I thought right then they should have cut ties with Blair Walsh. That was the time to move on. His psyche was definitely was harmed. Confidence, if you don't have it as a kicker, you're not going to be successful. But they brought him back, and then he didn't have a very good few games before they finally got rid of him and went to Kai Forbath. I think Forbath was functional, not a guy you could count on in every situation. Obviously, they weren't high on him, so they drafted Daniel Carlson, and they bring him in. But it's not like Carlson lit up the world in the preseason. And so now you have a pick that you've already cut 2 weeks in. And everybody knew. When I was in Green Bay and I went in the locker room, I talked to a lot of players. I talked to Charles Davis from Fox, who did the game with Kevin Burkhardt. You know, everybody knew that was it for Daniel Carlson.
No.
Because the Minnesota Vikings left one on the table. That would have been a huge victory. And you have early control of the NFC North. Now, on the flip side, I think the Green Bay Packers got absolutely hosed on the Clay Matthews call. It doesn't matter who you're cheering for. Clay Matthews should not have been flagged there, and that cost them the game because Jaire Alexander had a pick to seal the deal. That was a bogus call by Tony Corrente, and the NFL has got to stop protecting quarterbacks to this extreme way they do it. As Jack Lambert once said way back in the day, put a dress on him. That's what he said in the 70s.
Or put flags on him, all of flag football. At some point in time, once again, I'm not a Green Bay Packer fan. It was a terrible call.
That has nothing to do with it.
It was a terrible call. You can't call that. You can't call that a penalty.
No.
It's not football anymore.
And to be fair, Eric Kendricks, they called one on him earlier, and the Vikings don't think that flag should have dropped. And I'm okay with the Vikings saying that. But the point is, I go with Matthews, is that came – you know, late in the fourth, if that call's not made, Green Bay wins the game, and they're 2-0. So it's the kind of call that can tilt a season. And look, and when I talked to Sheldon Richardson after the game, Vikings, you know, run stuffer, space eater, he made a point. He says, well, what about us guys in the trenches? We're getting grabbed. We're getting clutched. We're in there banging heads on every play. Nobody cares about us. Nobody's protecting us. And even Kirk Cousins admitted after the game that he wasn't so sure that a flag should have been dropped, and he's the guy who got hit.
Quarterbacks so sold tickets. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. I mean, they're the big stars. It's always been that way in football. You know, the running backs, the wide receivers, the star players get the headlines. They're going to generally protect them. I'm not saying it's right or fair, but the Clay Matthews roughing the passer, the 15-yard penalty that gave the Vikings new life in that spot, that is just a horrible call. And I think the NFL is still trying to figure out what they're going to do. You know, we had all these penalties in the preseason and how they're going to protect players and guys leading. There's still a lot to sort out in this game. Well, there's a lot to sort out on how this game is going to evolve going forward.
The NFL and really college football and all levels of football, it's been a conundrum now for 5 to 7 years. You're trying to take a physical game, a game whose popularity has been built on violent hits. Let's cut to the chase. The NFL is popular because of guys like Dick Butkus and Lawrence Taylor and Deacon Jones and Chuck Bednarik and Carl Eller and on it goes, Jack Tatum. These guys had highlight hits back in the day, and it helped grow the game. Now they're taking all of that away, and they're trying to sanitize the sport and make it safer. I'm okay with that, like you. I want to see a safe sport. I have kids who play football. But good, clean, physical contact, the one that Matthews had, you can't call a penalty on that. You know, if it's launching or targeting or helmet to helmet or a chop block going low at a guy's knee, throw the flag, eject him if you have to. But what Matthews did was football. And if you can't do that as a defender, finish off a play, wrap him up in the middle. You know, Tony Corrente said he drove him into the turf. Well, what game was he watching? And the amazing thing is he dropped that flag at Lambeau. You know, you had 77,000 fans there. That takes a lot of guts to make that call. But I think the referees are confused too, Stevie T. They've been given a new set of dynamics to try to enforce rules-wise. It's tough. It is a physical game.
Quickly, let's get into tomorrow's game. Bills 16.5-point favorites to beat the Bills. That's a gigantic number. The Bills have been dreadful out of the gate. The Vikings, huge, huge favorites at home. I hate games like this. I'm not going to say I would take the Bills in the points, but I'm kind of saying I'd take the Bills in the points. That's a big number.
Well, Dalvin Cook won't play, and I know we're going to have him on the players show Monday out at the Lone Oak Grill in Eagan. They're going to, and neither will Everson Griffin. Now, Mike Zimmer has denied that Cook and Griffin aren't being rested so they can look forward to the game next Thursday in Los Angeles against the Rams, who right now might be the top team in the NFL. They're certainly among the conversation. But you're not going to have those two guys. Buffalo's in disarray, which is kind of hard to believe, Stevie T. They were a playoff team last season. They broke a long drought of having not made the postseason. But they've already gotten rid of, they benched Nathan Peterman, the quarterback. Josh Allen, the rookie out of Wyoming, is in. He threw for 319 and a touchdown. So far, that's what his numbers are on the year. So they've gone to Josh Allen. They have Shady McCoy. He's a playmaker. They were not a bad team a year ago. They remember in the playoff game, they almost beat Jacksonville. So to assume anything in the NFL is very dangerous. But I do think this is one the Vikings better get. They better jump on Buffalo early, hopefully build a big lead so Mike Zimmer can sit some guys down and start looking forward to the Rams game.
And I don't want anyone to misunderstand. I don't think the Vikes are going to lose tomorrow. I'd still take the Bills and the points, if you know what
I'm saying. It's a monster spread.
If I was laying down real money on this game. All right.
Which you only play with Monopoly money.
I don't play it like that at all. I'm not a gambling man. All right, 619 here at CCO, 67 degrees, south winds at 15. All is not well in Timberwolves land. We'll talk about that in a bit. By the way, Twins Magazine coming up at 6:30. Twins Magazine coming up at 6:30. Twins and A's game two of the three-game set. Final road series of the season underway. Mike Fiers for the A's tonight in game two. First pitch at 8:05. Chase DeYoung will go for the Twins tonight at the Coliseum. We'll have more on that. And take a look back at Friday night's 7-6 loss in 10 innings as the A's get it done. Timberwolves, Jimmy Butler wants out. It's been a huge story all week long. We have learned John Krasinski of The Athletic is reporting that Jimmy Butler will not be at Media Day at Target Center on Monday. What a development for the Timberwolves. And over the long history of this franchise, this is another one for the books. You cannot make this up. They make the trade to get Jimmy Butler in here. They give up a lot. The pick that turned into Lauri Markkanen from the University of Arizona. They give up Chris Dunn, who is a former number one pick of the Timberwolves. And they give up Zach LaVine as well in that deal. They bring in Butler. He was injured a couple of times during the season, but he still got them to the postseason. But then we learned that Butler wasn't maybe getting along with some of his teammates, a couple of young cornerstone guys by the name of Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. That continued to expand over the summer and really came to a head this week. It's not good.
Yeah, they are the toxic Timberwolves, and there's really no other way to spin it. And it's been going on for a while. I know that you go back to the All-Star game earlier this year out in Los Angeles. The Timberwolves had two guys in the game, Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler. Typically, the NBA will, you know, send these guys first-class tickets. They'll fly out together, play in the game, and then go to wherever the team's going to resume the second half of the season. Towns and Butler wouldn't even get on the same jet together. There's real friction, real acrimony between those two and Andrew Wiggins. The brother, Nick Wiggins, has gone on to, Twitter and posted things in Twitterverse, and Steven Jackson's gotten involved. It's really probably the pinnacle moment for dysfunction in a franchise that has nothing but dysfunction sans a few seasons. This is going to be their 30th season, Stevie T. They've only made the playoffs 9 out of 29 in their history, only gone beyond round one once. This might trump the Joe Smith fiasco when Glenn Taylor and Kevin McHale cheated to get Joe Smith, and boy, David Stern came down so hard on them, it crippled the team for years.
So Jimmy Butler apparently wants out at all costs. He's brought up some teams. Jonathan Lowe, you've looked at this. We've talked about this a lot this afternoon here in studio during news breaks. The Timberwolves are in a position right now where if they want a chance in 2018, 2019 to get back to the playoffs, you need Jimmy Butler. What are you going to get in return? What are the options? Word is he's brought up teams that he's willing to go to. Knicks, Nets come to mind.
Clippers.
Yep. Out in L.A. at Staples Center, playing in the same building as LeBron James and the L.A. Lakers. But there are limited options in a hard cap league. Is there a bad contract he can take on? No matter what, this is bad news for the Timberwolves.
And the problem is, and I was reading some stuff on ESPN about this last night, the problem with this is not just, okay, Butler wants to go. It's not that he just has basically called his shot on the teams that he wants to go to. It's that you have to figure, what are they going to give you in return, and how are teams going to stay out of the luxury tax? How are they going to get maybe, like you were saying, maybe bad contracts or contracts that are going to expire after a year? Yeah. And get to a place where they can maybe build for the next round. You know, maybe picks are going to be involved. What picks are those? Are they second-round picks? Are they, you know, late first-round picks? And then people are talking about, okay, you look at the trade to get Butler, and how can you match what was given up to get equal return for giving up Butler? And a lot of people are saying, I don't think you're going to do that because Zach LaVine is still coming off of injury. People, the one of the stories I read was done, getting better, improving, but he's not a project. He's 25. He's into what should be going into his prime. So kind of really the only portion of the deal that really looked good for Chicago was Markkanen. But are you going to get somewhere even close to that? And just going through all the scenarios, it's mind-boggling in a way because it's not just, okay, we're going to trade Jimmy Butler here, we're going to get rid of his contract, we're going to get maybe a couple pieces that'll go on. No, it has to work out for both teams to make it work, and that's the problem.
Well, and I think the other problem is now it's out there. Jimmy Butler doesn't want to be here, so somebody on the receiving end of a phone call from Glenn Taylor, Scott Layden, Tom Thibodeau, they know the Wolves are desperate to move him because you get to the offseason, and we won't get to that point. It's too toxic for these guys to be together. But if you were to get to the offseason, he walks away as an unrestricted free agent. So then you get nothing. So the Wolves now have to get something. It's a little bit like Brian Dozier in the way the Twins said, okay, the reason we're dealing him is we don't want him to walk away and get nothing in the offseason. The Timberwolves may get draft picks. I mean, this is incredibly deflating for a hardcore Timberwolves fan because you thought you had aligned your big three, Butler, Wiggins, and Cat. You made the playoffs last season. You were pretty doggone good. They were fun to watch. I think we would all agree with that. They were a team on the upward arc. Now it's a crash and burn. I mean, I don't know any other way to spin it.
And you add in the layers to this real quick. Not only is it just you talked about Taylor and Thibodeau and Layden, you may have something setting up where Thibodeau is going against Taylor because there have been reports that the league meetings are going on right now. Taylor is saying, hey, you might want to bypass the president of operations and the GM, maybe come to me. Now, again, those are reports. Yeah. Those have been from sources in the league league meetings that are going on right now. But you add that into the past history we talked about with Joe Smith, and then just how do you mend egos? Because there are a lot of egos involved in this, the player's side and the front office side.
Tough with media day coming up, training camp getting underway, and the 2018-2019 season. And just to put a wrap on it, media day is when you're at the peak of optimism. That's when it's kind of like you're selling tickets, getting people excited about the upcoming season. So bad news for the Timberwolves at this point in time. But still, we haven't heard the end of this and what's going to happen with this Wolves roster and Jimmy Butler going forward. And remember, they've got to try and lock in Karl Anthony Towns, a cornerstone guy for the future as well.
So and unfortunately for the Timberwolves, all the focus on Media Day Monday over at Target Center will be on the guy who's not there. And I can almost assure you some national NBA guys are on their way to the Twin Cities because this has become a national story. It's a lightning rod topic. And I don't know how it's going to be resolved, but it's hard for me to imagine the Timberwolves come out ahead in this one.
And it won't be, and when the Lakers open camp, then that'll garner all the attention.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.